This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President, simplifying a complex money world with investment programs to match a range of investment goals and life situations. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the June 9th edition of Invest Talk. It is Friday, June 9th. I love Fridays. Above average investing for the average investor. If you're interested in investing but don't know what you don't know, you don't know what you don't know, we're here for you. If you're an experienced investor but you're looking for a sounding board, well, we're here for you also. Maybe help you make better choices. So give me a call. One of the topics on the table today is our main talking point. Bonds are not risk-free. If you don't believe me, just ask some people who own some Puerto Rican bonds. They're not risk-free. We think of bonds as a very conservative component in our portfolio, but there are risks, especially if you're reaching for yield. So we're going to talk about that, more about that later on in the show. I hope you can watch Justin's Invest Talk Views commentary. This time he talks about why he believes the auto industry is in big trouble. The auto industry. There's a link to it on investtalk.com. Now, there are industries like big box retailers, for example, that are being stressed, and we've talked about that pretty in-depth here on the show. But what are the industries that are doing well or moving up? CNBC.com published a recent report listing the top 10 trenders. Top trenders. They came in from the standpoint of the small business operator. So if you're going to open up a small business, this might be where you want to do. You know, there's almost 30 million small businesses out there, according to the U.S. Business Administration. So if you're interested in successfully joining their ranks, the last thing you want to do is start a business in an industry that has a bad outlook. You want to start a business in an industry that looks pretty positive in the future. What's number one? Healthcare. 75 million baby boomers. Number one job, small business opportunity probably be in healthcare in some way. Number two, marijuana. Why? Because there's 28 states and the District of Columbia who have legalized it. But bear in mind that the federal government has not. I think that's kind of a risky thing. If that was their number two, I wouldn't do that one. Number three, e-commerce. I think that's a pretty important area and will continue to thrive. So, you know, the projected growth rate is like 4% per year, all the way up to 2024. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So, you know, online things, e-commerce. Number four, tech. We all know that. Innovation in the technology world is going all the time. So it'd be a good business to get into. Number five, home building maintenance. Because people like me don't know how to screw in a light bulb. So people like me need help. It doesn't matter what kind, it's help. Now, whether you're a small business entrepreneur or an investor, you have to look forward. Beat the bushes for data, information, and opinions. Put it all in balance when you start to invest. Whether you start a new business or you're investing in the stock market, bond market, whatever. Be careful. Do your homework. Don't just jump in. Now, I'll do what I can to help. Let's talk about it. Our listener line is 888-99-CHART. That's our anytime number. We are live 4 to 5 Pacific time. So let's go to Daniel in Palo Alto. How are you doing, Daniel?
Hi, Steve. Good to talk to you. I listen to you on 1220 every day.
Thank you.
I just had a quick question. Given the downturn in tech today, whether what might be a good entry point for Apple or whether I should wait?
Wait. Yeah, we don't know if this is just a one-day phenomena or we're going to see a pretty good ratchet back. I was thinking about cutting back some of my Apple shares today. I didn't, because I really want to hold on to them long term. But I think you might get a better retracement. I like Apple a lot, so you know this might be a good opportunity. But let's one day is too. Let's just wait a couple of days. We'll see what happens. Okay, Daniel?
Okay.
Well,
do you think this is a one-day phenomenon? Or?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. There was no reason for it. there really was no justification for it. But then I could say there's really no justification for the strong rally either. So I think people are just taking profits today. And tomorrow, if we don't have a follow-through, if we don't, let's say the market's flat, then I would say, okay, you can put your toe in the water. Okay?
But I hear you. Okay, thank you, Steve.
Appreciate the call. So we have a follow-through down day tomorrow, then in the tech, because all the big techs got hit pretty hard. Look at Google. Look at Tesla. Look at all the big tech. And I say Tesla, and that's not big tech, but it acts like big tech. But you look at all the tech, big tech, and you'll see that most of them fell hard. Let's go to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I was just wondering about Kimco Realty. It's a REIT. I was looking at the dividend, and also it's down like quite a bit. So I was just wondering what your thoughts would be on it.
Okay. Kimco Realty Corporation, REIT, real estate investment trust that owns, manages, and acquires neighborhood community shopping centers in 38 states, Canada, Mexico, and Puerto Rico. Did you listen to the show yesterday, Art? I talked about...
I missed it.
Okay, well, I actually talked about shopping centers and that, you know, they've been beaten up, but not all of them. And I talked about REIT shopping centers. I said, and I said, it's overdone. It's too much. That there's probably going to be some opportunities. I don't like the big box stores, still don't. But something like this attracts me. It's a neighborhood community shopping center, not necessarily, you know, with the big box stores. I'd have to look at them and see which ones they own. But the numbers are, the sales numbers are flat, okay? Not shrinking, but flat. And they're going to make $1.52 this year and $1.61 next year, and it's an $18 stock. So it's near the low of its P.E. range. They pay a decent dividend. They'll continue to pay a decent dividend. And I think this is where you buy it. It just popped up above its 20-day moving average 2 days ago, and it's held up. So I think you buy it here. Okay, all right?
Okay.
Thank you for all the
right.
call. Appreciate
Thanks
it.
Lot,
appreciate the call. That's... That was Kim, K-I-M, the symbol. It's Kimco Realty Corp. I would look at, on a chart, you buy it here, but I would look at what those what's in those strip malls that they have, the shopping centers they have. How many big box stores are they depending on? Let's go to Aaron in New York. How you doing, Aaron?
I'm great, Steve. How are you?
Good. Thank you for the call.
So I originally was going to call about Adobe, but listening to Art and to your show yesterday, I'm actually very interested in your thoughts on WPG, which is another mall REIT that seems like it's been hit, but it seems like it might be able to do well.
Okay, let's look what that one is. It's Washington Prime Group, WPG. That's a REIT that owns and manages 114 strip centers and smaller enclosed properties located in 30 states. I like that description. Now, their sales have fallen a little bit more than the previous one, 3 and 4%. But I think that, I like the other one, I think they've been overpunished. And the chart tells me that they're bouncing up. So their $8 stock, going to make $1.69. I can't, you know, I think that's cheap, and I kind of like it already. Now, the difference on this one is, and the one that has a little bit, something you have to check out, Aaron, is there's a lot more debt that this one's carrying than the previous one. The debt is higher. And so you want to make sure that they have enough cash flow, maybe check the debt and see if they're going to have to refinance anytime soon. You know, that debt would be the biggest issue. Look at it. Looks really cheap. But only cheap if they can handle that debt, okay?
Yeah, it seems like they have a lot of free cash flow, but that it's not necessarily growing.
Yeah, it's not growing, but the free cash flow, correct. And I don't care if it's not growing because it's got enough value in the stock because it's cheap. So the only concern I have really is can they afford their debt, okay?
So great dividend, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, they have to pay 90%. Remember, it's a REIT. They got to pay 90% of their earnings. you know, earnings out. So we'll see. Good luck with it. Hope it works, Aaron.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Our focus for this hour every day is always money. But here's a quote that adds some perspective. Anybody who thinks money will make you happy hasn't got money. I have personal experience with that. Money does not make you happy. That was a quote by David Geffen, by the way. You know, he worked, one of the guys who started DreamWorks, so he's ultra rich, right? Money does not make you happy. It does not. If you're not a happy person being poor, you're not going to be a happy person being rich. So whether you have a little or a lot, you're welcome to call. Bring in your money questions to me, 888-99-CHART. That's the live listener line, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 Pacific time. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Sam in Hayward. How are you doing, Sam?
Oh, fine. Thank you, Steve. Hey, you got a great show.
Thank you.
Quick question. What do you think about Dyson? It's a DY, stock chart name.
Okay, DY is the symbol. Dycom Industries provides engineering, construction, maintenance, and installation services to the telecommunications providers. Let's see. They make money, have made money for a long time, so that's good. They're going to grow their earnings 17% this year, another 4%. Sales are doing pretty good, growing about 18 to 20%. Even though sales growth has kind of flattened the last three or four quarters, but it's still growing 18% or so. P.E. ratio, okay, it's an $87 stock going to sell for $5.46 in earnings. So that gives it, what, a P.E. of 16-ish? That's pretty reasonable. Return on equity is 28%. That's pretty good for this kind of growth. So I think it's a reasonable price. Do you know why it dropped down sharply back in about May 22nd or so? It dropped.
I have no idea. I'm just wondering, maybe because the returns were low or something, the dividend was low. I have no idea, really.
Yeah, there's no dividend. But it was at about $107, and then the very next day it traded at $90, $91, and then it went all the way down to $82, and now it's starting to make its way back. This looks like it could be a good buy point, and the value is there, but it does have gaps. It gaps up and gaps down a lot. I wonder why is that? It's a $2.7 billion company, has plenty of volume. I'd have to do a little research to find out why it gapped down. Why does it gap?
Something, I have no idea. Good point.
It's got great cash flow.
Yeah,
I think it's a good, solid company, and they make money. This is where you would want to buy it, to be honest. But I still would want to find out why it gaps up and down so often.
Yeah, it might be more like a trading stock, maybe. You know.
I don't know. That'd be interesting to find out. Appreciate the call, though. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
This is InvestTalk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley. From earnings per share to earning a living, let's talk about how to make both those things work. 888-99-CHART is how you can reach me right now, and we're live 4 to 5 Pacific time. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to John in Santa Cruz. Let's talk about closed-end funds. Hi, John.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for taking my call. I'm looking at two closed-end funds, and the first one is KYE. Kayne Anderson.
Okay.
And the second one is PEO. And Kayne Anderson has some leverage, and that concerns me. So I'm wondering if the dividend is really safe.
Let's look at Kayne Anderson, closed-end fund. And now that means there's a finite number of shares, so it can trade at a discount or a premium to the net asset value of the holdings. And what are the holdings? Well, securities and energy companies for current income and capital appreciation. So energy companies, they pay a very nice dividend, 9%. It's hard to know if that 9% is pretty high. It would be difficult, and they're a very small company, John. So, I mean, it's pretty risky at a $389 million market cap. it tells you that the company is very, very small, and their earnings have been going down steadily year after year after year. So I'm not too comfortable that they'll be able to maintain that dividend. I'm just not.
Okay. And then there's PEO, which has huge companies in it. It's another closed-end fund.
Well, that's another small company. It's $539 million market cap, so it's small. Adams Natural Reserve Fund, or Resources, they shorten it, I can't tell. Closed-end fund, primarily equities in energy and other natural resources companies for current income. Well, I can tell you this. Their dividend yield is much safer simply because it's much lower. Yeah. But it still has that. They're going to repurchase 5%. Still has that problem where over the years, their earnings per share keeps going down. I'm not sure why that's the case. You know, the earnings per share keeps going. It's going to go up. It went up last year after being down the year before. But, you know, a few years ago, it was $30 a share. You know, now it's 20 in the low 20s. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just don't feel comfortable. Something's not right there. And I don't have enough data here to tell you what that might be in front of me. I just don't. John, I appreciate the call.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
888-99-CHART. Okay, investors who decide on bonds, you who are investing in bonds based solely on the yield, well, you're chasing the yield. You're reaching for it. And that is a very common mistake. Do not do that, because bonds are not risk-free. The higher the yield, the more the risk. It's that simple. And the only way, you have to compare the yield and the environment that you're in. For instance, right now, with we're very low interest rates, a high-yield bond would be, you know, paying 6, 7, 8%. 20 years ago, that would be, you know, high-yield bond pay 15%. So you're in a different kind of environment today. But bonds are not risk-free. They have risks, and you need to understand the risks that you have. They have an interest rate risk. If interest rates go up, bond values go down. The faster the interest rate goes up, the more it affects the bond. The longer the maturity period of the bonds, the more rising and lowering interest rates affect the bond. So there's risk there. That's called a duration risk, by the way. If the bond is callable, you have the call risk. In other words, they can make you cash it in if you have a callable bond. Default risk. You got default and credit risk. How good is it? Think about what we've seen with Puerto Rico. You would think that Puerto Rico would be safe, but no. How about the second largest bank in Spain that just got taken over by the first largest bank because the government made them, and a lot of the bondholders, lower tier bondholders, got wiped out? Had bonds. Bank's still doing business. See, you can get wiped out. You can lose value. There's all kinds of things that could happen. So you got to think about the default and credit risk you're dealing with. U.S. government. Credit risk, default rate is extremely low, probably zero. But every place else, you have those risks. And when we talk about the ratings by, agencies that rate bond, AAA, AA, single A, triple B, those rating agencies, those, I do not rely on them. I use them. Trust me, I use them and look at them, but there's been too many times in history when things fall apart, those rating agencies, just in our recent financial crisis, those rating agencies are totally wrong with their ratings. They were just absolutely wrong. And they have a bias. Those rating agencies are biased. They have a bias to rate things higher than they should be. And we talked about that on the show, about the bias of experts and why they're biased. Be sure to sign up for our Invest Talk Insiders program. Each month we deliver an economic and market forecast to our insiders. The latest one just went out this week. Insiders can access that The chart lessons, recorded webinars, special watch lists, it's all free. Just click on Invest Talk tab on investtalk.com.
What are value stocks? What makes them different than growth stocks? Or what's your question? Why not ask it right now? 888-99-CHART on Invest Talk. Our podcast continues next. The process of investing is more than just picking stocks. Investing begins with savings, of course, and along the way, there are issues about taxes and then estate planning and on and on. KPP Financial clients have a ready resource of information about any and all of these personal financial matters. All they need to do is ask. Managing your money gets more complex every day, and there are more options than the average person could possibly comprehend. And when we're confronted with too many choices, research shows that people put off decisions, important decisions. Most times, that's not productive. KPP Financial's philosophy is the more their clients know, the more successful they'll be, and the more predictable their future will be. KPP Financial, serving the average investor, helping them find solutions. Now let's continue with the podcast. Invest Talk continues on a service of KPP Financial. For more than 20 years, helping Americans plan their retirement years with confidence. Our Invest Talk Live listener line, 888-99-CHART. Your call is welcome right now.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Dan in San Diego. How are you doing, Dan?
Hey, pretty good, Steve. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
I was wondering about SNR.
Okay.
It's got a pretty high dividend. It's in the healthcare industry. It's not real big, about $750 million, but mm-hmm. I was wondering about the safety of their dividend.
Well, if we just talk about the safety, it looks fairly safe, and this is why. This is, for everybody else, this is a new senior investment group. It's a REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust. Remember, a REIT, to qualify to be a REIT, you have to be in the real estate business in some way, shape, or form, and you have to pay 90% of the earnings of the company as a dividend to the shareholders. If you do that, you qualify as a REIT, and you then don't have to pay corporate income tax. Okay? Of course, the people who get the dividend have to pay tax, but it's not double taxed. So what does it do? It owns and manages 154 senior housing property entities in 37 states. I kind of like this area, Dan.
Uh-huh.
It is an $800 million company, so it is a micro cap. I mean, it's pretty small. The earnings have flattened the last couple of quarters, and it pays a 10.7% dividend. Well, it's a $9 stock, though. So that means it has to pay 10% of that is like 96 cents. It's $9.68 stock. So it's
right.
And it makes $1.25. So, and that it looks like the dividend is fairly secure because the cash flow is $1.48. So the only concern I have is it there's quite a bit of debt.
That's the thing, yeah.
Yeah. So it's hard to know. I'd have to tell you, you'd definitely have to delve into that debt and how much is that coming due, or is it all mortgage debt? It probably is. And
yeah.
You know, so I think it looks pretty decent on the chart. In other words, this is where you'd buy it. It looks good on the numbers. The only thing I question is the debt level. It's the only thing I question.
Okay, thank you very much, Steve.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate the call. That's SNR, New Senior Investment Group. Okay. We didn't even talk about the market today. We had a really unusual market. The Dow was up 80. The Nasdaq was down 114, and the S&P was down 2. Pretty unusual. The Dow being up 80 and the Nasdaq down 114. Apple was down, Google was down. A lot of tech stocks were down pretty significantly. That's a 1.8% fall in the Nasdaq, while the Dow reached new highs. That's pretty unusual. Something is going on. That's all I can, that's about the only conclusion I can come up with. Something's going on. What, there was no bad news in this sector. There was no bad news that would cause this to happen that I saw. Not sure. Just not sure. The phenomena of fake news, everybody, has infected the websites of investing groups. The SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, has brought civil fraud charges against 27 companies and individuals involved in stock promotion schemes that played out on popular websites, investment websites, Benzinga, Seeking Alpha, Wall Street, Cheat Street, Sheet. There's 27 of them. Be very careful out there. Be very careful. There was about 250 articles pumping these companies that were all fraud. Let's talk to Clark in the Bay Area. How are you doing, Clark?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Hey, just want to say love your show.
Thank you.
I think it's the best out there. You guys are level-headed, and you're not trying to push anything, and it's just a breath of fresh air. I just wanted to throw that out there for you guys.
Thank you. Thank you for the thing. That was very nice of you. Thank you, Clark.
So, thank you. Question or just comment based on what you're talking about, the retail sector, retail real estate, strip malls,
right,
big box stores, et cetera. Boy, I'm not to be a pessimist, but I just don't see it ever coming back. I think that just the huge paradigm shift with technology and internet sales and just the tremendous cost savings in that sector, with Amazon just having a huge market share and other players out there, I just don't see it coming back. And with the Amazon Pantry.
Let me ask you a question.
That are actually delivering, where you can actually get groceries. I don't go to the store anymore. And as a male, maybe that's something that's more in our DNA. I don't think males really prefer to shop. It's kind of a female thing. I'm not trying to be sexist or gender biased here, but I have no desire to go to the box store. Every time I go down in the Sacramento or into the city, it's dead.
Okay.
It's just dead.
Let me say this. I would agree with you that it's not coming back the way it was. It's not going to happen. But do you think, and I'll ask you this, do you think people are not going to shop anymore other than online? Do you think they're never going to go to the malls or stop going to the malls? Or you think that's just going to stop?
That's a great question, and this, I just want to interject this thought. With technology, and I've seen some of the things that are out there as far as the ability for apps, new apps, to actually measure your body so that you can have the perfect fit. So it's that's coming, or it's already here, and with 3D printers, and this might be sci-fi, but I've seen these printers create cars. I've seen them build buildings. I know you guys understand this, but I think lot of people have no idea. I didn't really understand until I actually saw a demonstration.
Yeah.
The power of these printers. Pharmaceuticals are being delivered via 3D printers.
Yeah.
I just think that technology is just unstoppable, and I think that we have to. And it's hard for me to – I don't like change, so it's really hard for me. So if you're change-averse, I know it's hard to wrap your head around it. But I think the best thing we can do is accept that it's coming, and it's coming fast and hard.
Oh, yeah. 3D is a new manufacturing method, and so far the U.S. has a lead on that, and I think that's going to be the future. I really do. The reason why I'm not so death on malls right now, and if you've listened to me any length of time, you know I've been pretty down on the whole concept of malls.
Yes.
I've been saying that they need to change what they do. They can still sell stuff, but they need to change what they do. Right, recently, right near me, there's a mall that has like 5 high-end food, I guess you call them mini food restaurants, inside a big box that was supposed to be a big box store. They have to change. They have to, the entertainment. Or there's a Tesla dealer in the mall right near me. There's no doubt in my mind that they have to change, Chuck, and that the Amazons of the world are going to really do damage. And I think they've already done a tremendous damage to the malls. And I still think it's going to continue. But I don't think the malls are going to go out of business. I think they will change. And I think it's going to have to be more entertainment centers of some kind.
I agree. I think a lot of it's shifting to home-based. And it's good. I think it's actually a positive.
Oh, yeah.
Because in some areas, there's such a need for housing. There's such housing shortages in certain dense populated areas like Los Angeles, Bay Area, North Boston, that it would free up a lot of real estate. And maybe a mixed-use scenario like you're talking about where you have multiple businesses where it's scaled down, where the footprint is smaller. I think you're on to something there where it's mixed with some high-density housing.
Yeah, I was going to say, how about making the top levels of the big box stores, the second and third floors, living quarters or artist studios where they live there? I could see that happen. Anyways, great question, great comments. Thanks, Clark. I appreciate it. Do your investing goals include real estate? So how do you get started there? It's difficult because there's a lot of upfront costs. You got to have some knowledge. How much cash flow should you expect from income property? You know, you got to know a lot of things about it. So you can do it. You can ask. You know, Justin Klein is a real estate is a realtor. He might be able to help you. We have connections all over the country. Go to investtalk.com and give him an email. Just click on Contact Justin.
Click on our Invest Talk Insider section on investtalk.com and you'll see these stories and many more. Electric car sales get a big jolt from Bloomberg News, and from The Guardian, renewable energy to face new security and reliability regulations. And from MarketWatch, your 401k, four things to consider when you change jobs. Important money topics from respected sources. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and look for Invest Talk Insider.
888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Manu in Fremont. How you doing, Manu?
Good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. Actually, I was going to call you yesterday. You raised the issue regarding the stock pumping. Yesterday, when NVIDIA opened, someone from Citi upgraded and put a $300 target. That was doubling.
Wow.
And today I was short in the morning and I missed the puts. Anyway, made money, but not that. That's why I was going to call you yesterday, that there is no restriction. They are pumping just without reason. Mm-hmm. NVIDIA. But there are hot stocks. That's why the NASDAQ bent down, because those stocks were holding NASDAQ, the big. The other thing, the Seeking Alpha, I had a fight with them 2 weeks ago. I was short on a stock, and the stock was all-time high, and they have an article. And I put the comments that this is wrong, but the stock went 40% down after. They deleted my comments.
Uh-huh.
I put comments for 3-4 times. All the time, I challenged the writer, and the next day, the company issued shares, and the stock is down 30-40%, and I covered yesterday.
Well, good for you.
That's what these websites are doing, and analysts. I don't know. There is no investigation for the analysts.
Analysts can say they can say whatever they want. They cannot lie. They can't tell a lie, but they can have any opinion they want based on the numbers that they see. So yeah, that's why you've heard me say it, man. You do not. Experts are always wrong, always.
No, one more thing. Sorry to disrupt you.
No problem.
Sometime I listen to your show. People call that stock based on valuation you recommend, but I remember SDRL, the seed drill. I was short on that at 35, and the stock was showing earning $3. And I was short, and someone called you, and you said, oh, it's valuated. And today that is a 45-cent stock. I knew they were in trouble. And people call to the show once a while, and they call based on valuations. Mm-hmm. And then you don't basically think what is the motive behind that, and people
are
calling
that's because,
valuation.
That's because, Manuel, I don't have time to do the research that's needed.
Yeah.
You know, people are asking.
I said what?
Yeah, you can't. I can only look at the information that's in front of me, and that's not in-depth information. It's just never is. Can't be. I can't. So I can only give you what I know and what I see. Appreciate your call, man.
The analysts should be investigated.
Yeah. Well, yeah, a lot of them are always wrong. Man, you appreciate the call. Thank you. 888-99-CHART. Experts are always wrong, everybody. Always. And always remember that when you call me up, I'm taking a quick look at the company. I have software in front of me, but I'm only as good as the software in front of me. And trust me, you need to understand that I can be wrong on any call. It's not. I can only tell you what's in front of me and base that information on what I see. That's it. That's what only anybody can do, by the way. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. 7 reasons to buy Tesla and 7 reasons not to buy Tesla. How's that? This was MarketWatch put out these reasons. I thought it was fascinating because, you know, I think Tesla is way overvalued. But there's reasons to buy it. I mean, their main number one reason is of the 7 to why to buy it is momentum. Is it's got a great momentum going for it. And Wall Street, number 2, Wall Street has very high targets. Very high targets for the stock. The sales trends are up. Another reason? Production is ramping up for their cars. Another, deposits are coming in for their new Model 3. Lots of deposits. Half the year, next year's projected output is already sold. What are some of the 7 reasons not to buy it? Well, how about it's already shot up and it's time to, you know, sell the news because the news is, you know, the hype is already built in. Valuations are ridiculous. Empty production promise. Do you remember last time the production promise on the SUV? They didn't produce nearly what they said the first year. They had so many troubles. So now they're having production problems. There may be production problems on the new model that's coming out. Problems. So there's more, but kind of interesting. Love to hear from you. 888-99-CHART is our number.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Fred calling from Virginia. I do want to say you guys have a great show. I enjoy listening to it all the time. I like the advice that you give and the perspectives and the different topics that you pick. My question hopefully is an easy one. It's broad-based. I have a friend who does real estate investing. He's actually part of a company that does it, and they're basically a consortium that collects money from investors and goes out and buys apartment buildings or retail complexes and then kicks back a percentage of profits. You know, it's creating a partnership where they have controlling interest and then inferior partners who, you know, make an investment and then get returns and then hopefully some capital appreciation down the road. What do you think are some of the things to look at and consider when you're making those types of investments, and what are the advantages and pitfalls as well? Any insights or thoughts you have on the topic would be appreciated. Thanks.
Okay, so what he's talking about is a general partner and then limited partners, not sub-partners, but limited partners. And I like those kinds of investments only if they're public, not private. And he's describing a private situation. Now, if you happen to know the general partner, he's a friend of yours or a relative, okay. But this is the problem. This is the fear. The fear is the general partner has complete control of all the finances, all the money. Okay, so therefore he or she has to be 100% trustworthy. He can borrow money against the partnership. He can borrow money to go buy properties. And you as a limited partner, you are on the hook of all that borrowed money. It's like income to you. If the partnership defaults, you will get a 1099, and that all that borrowed money is income to you that you're going to have to pay income tax on the money you never got. Trust me, it's happened. It's happened to me many, many, many moons ago in my 20s. Actually, probably no, maybe I was 30, 31, somewhere around there. The benefit is you can get some, you can, there's a way to earn, to own some real estate, pieces of real estate, and usually have pretty darn good cash flow. But again, there's pretty big risks involved too. I would not do it unless you're extremely familiar with the general partner. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Everybody tells you to put money away, to save for your retirement, contribute to your 401k, your IRA. I tell you to do that, right? Everybody tells you, put more and more money away for your retirement. You got to do it. But no one tells you how you take it out in retirement. How are you going to decumulate instead of accumulate? How are you going to decumulate? When, how much money should you take out? Should I set up some kind of system? Should I buy annuities that pay me on a monthly basis? You know what I think of annuities. I'm just saying that's an option. And you've heard me over and over and over again say you can take between 4 and 4.5% out of your assets per year, 4, 4.5% per year out of your assets, and you should never run out of money. But that's also assuming that you're investing it, not just sitting in cash. You don't have to be aggressive with it. I'm not suggesting to be aggressive at all. You need to be conservative with it. But still, you got to have some investments. So, you know, I think we need to pay more and more attention as we get older how we're going to take that money in retirement. How are you going to, should you take more early on or take less early on and more later? Remember, early on in retirement, you have a lot more energy. You're going to do want to do a lot more things than later on. But later on, maybe you're going to incur more medical bills. So how should you take that money? Now, you're probably waiting for an answer, huh? I don't have an answer. There's no one set answer. It's so individualistic. It depends on you, how much money you have and how much, what your lifestyle is, and how are you going to handle retirement. I can only do like generalities, like say, well, make sure you pay off your mortgage so you don't have that in retirement, that bill. I can tell you, you can take 4.5%, and that's the rule of thumb that's been around forever, a year out of your money, live on that. It's difficult. You need to sit down and talk to people like me and help go over all your details. Time's up for the hour, everybody. Before we go, reminder, I will be in San Jose next week on June 14th. I only have one or two slots left. So if you want to make a reservation to meet with me, go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. That's an email that comes directly to me. That's for June 14th in San Jose. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein, everybody at KPP, thanks for being with us today. And let's do it again next week.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.